How's it going, everybody? This is Cole with Through the Valley, and we are back with another episode in our series on depression. The title of this episode is The Myth of Have More Faith. Let's get right into it. All right, we're back. Welcome to Through the Valley. As always, we start with scripture. So the scripture for this episode just comes from 2 Corinthians 5:7, which says, "For we live by faith and not by sight." I love that verse. It's short and sweet, but it really tells us a lot about what our faith is that we have faith in the unseen, really, in the hope of Christ. And that's what we live by. We don't live by what we see, but by Christ, who is our hope and stay. If you haven't listened to the very first episode of this podcast, it's kind of where I share my initial journey with mental health. And for those of you who haven't listened, I was in a behavior hospital when I was 16, just for recurrent thoughts of suicide and a really dark season of depression. And I was reading 2 Corinthians, and that verse was really just the turning point for me when I started realizing that there are things outside of my sight that God allows in my life, but he wants me to live by faith, not by what I see, because there are moments in life and seasons in our life when everything feels bleak and blue, and there feels like there's no hope, or maybe there's events that have happened in your life and sufferings that are specific to you where you, by sight, can't go on any longer. But the biblical truth is that faith is hope in what we do not see, and that was just so powerful for me because it was so reassuring that God was doing something unseen, that even in my darkest season of depression and when I was laying there in a behavior hospital, not knowing what my life was going to turn out as, that he was still working things for my good because, you know, the word says if we are in Christ, for those who love Christ, he's working all things together for our good. That good might not be what we want in the moment, but he works together a story far beyond what we could ever imagine. It doesn't take away from the pain and the suffering that we face in this life, but it gives us hope in the midst of it. And really, as the Bible says in Hebrews 11, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. So I just think of that our faith, as Peter says in his letter, we haven't seen Jesus, but we love him because we know his saving power, his death and resurrection, the relationship we have with him by the sacrifice he made. We've never seen Jesus, but we love Jesus, and it's by faith that we do that. We trust him. That's really what faith is. It's trust that he is going to do what he says he will do, and he is who he says he is, and that really we are who he says we are in light of his word. So I just want to share that with you as we start. We're continuing our series in depression. So we're just exploring depression from a Christian worldview. So last episode, we really tried to tackle what is depression as Christians? How do we even answer that? Because there's many psychological theories out there. There's just many things that try to define depression. Is it just something wrong with our brains? Is it completely relational, like our relationships in life aren't working? Is it something just due to our genetics? Like how do we define depression? And basically what we came to in the Christian worldview is that, first of all, God has created man as a union between body and soul. And we have to start from there because any psychological theory that takes the spiritual nature of ourselves out of the picture reduces us simply to mechanical and physical things that can be controlled, and then, you know, we won't be depressed anymore. For example, if man is just made up of cells and genetics and that's it, then we can manipulate our genetics and even our neurochemicals down to the physiology of it to fix depression. And so there's good things that come out of this, like medicine and behavior therapy that fixes the therapy. But as we came to the conclusion in the last episode is that the scriptural basis is that God has created man as body and soul together in one person. And so it's not just giving somebody a pill and that's going to fix depression. Rather, depression is very complex and it has many different components to it. There's there is the physical components. There is a genetic basis to it. So some people do have a more melancholy temperament than others do and will likely have depression more often than other people. There's a social component to it. So if someone doesn't have any good and healthy relationships or communities that are wholesome, then likely they will be more prone to feelings of despair, worthlessness, low self-esteem, and you name it. There are also just circumstantial components to it. For example, if you've lost a loved one or have gone through something traumatic, then that in effect can lead you into depression. But what we also came to is that there's also a spiritual component to it. And if we take the spiritual out of it, then we're missing the point completely. And we've been talking about this for episode upon episode, that first of all, God made man and woman to be in perfect relationship with him, and that because of sin, because sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, that man's relationship with God has been distorted and really tarnished. That even though man and woman are made in the image and likeness of God, that sin has marred that image, and now there's alienation between God and man. And you see this in effect in all of creation, that all of creation groans. Something is not right with creation. As Paul puts it in Romans 8, creation is groaning, waiting for redemption. And inside of us, too, we know this groaning. We feel this groaning, specifically as Christians, as we await the new heavens and the new earth when Jesus returns. And so we started from there, that first of all, there's a problem between God and man, right? We seek satisfaction in our relationships, and so we seek our value from others, and when that doesn't happen, that can lead into depression. There's also just environmental circumstances that can lead into not getting what we need for our bodies. So what we came to at the end of all that episode was that depression is such a complex thing that it's hard to define it in certain terms, but modern psychology has helped to bring out some symptoms of what a depressed state and a depressed season may look like. But the Bible is the ultimate hope in that it tells the story of redemption, and that in Christ there is ultimate hope in knowing that one day all this will be gone, and that faith wants us to become better. It doesn't want us to stay in our depression. So that was last episode, just a little recap. I know that was a little long, but in this episode I want to talk about what I call the myth of have more faith. And so this is an interesting phenomenon in Christian circles. And so if you've ever been depressed, or if you've ever gone through a hard time, this isn't limited to depression. You may have lost a family member or have gone through a grieving process. I don't know your specific circumstance, but I just want you to think about this. Have you ever had someone, maybe in your pain and suffering, come up to you and they were a Christian, they were really sincere, they meant well for you, but they wanted to help you, and they said something like this. They said, you know, I know that you're going through a lot right now, but I think you need to pray more and, you know, have more faith in God. Like, if you have more faith, then it would help with this pain or this suffering. Have you ever had anybody come to you and ask that or tell you that that's what you need? I find that this is really common in Christian circles. And for the sufferer, this is the last thing that anyone wants to hear, especially when we feel like the situation is completely out of our control. Yeah, just for example, like if you've lost a loved one, that void is there and that void is real. You know that death has taken that person in your life, and that your time with them on earth has ended. Now, if they're a believer, you know that you will see them in heaven again with Jesus. And you know that right now they're free from pain, that they're with the Lord. But you're still suffering. Because why? Well, because even though they're in heaven, you still feel the void here on earth. You still feel that loss. And so when somebody comes to you and says that you need to pray more, give it to God, you know, a popular one is let go and let God, have more faith, you name it. What they're basically saying is that your pain isn't worthwhile to stay in, that the grieving process isn't valuable. That, and really what they're trying to say is grieving is not really a good part of life, that you need to have what I call this stoic faith, where you aren't, you know, perturbed by anything. Nothing moves you. You were just this rock solid superhero Christian who can go through life without, you know, feeling sad or depressed or grieving or you name it. This is well-intentioned. This idea of, you know, having more faith, trusting God more, let go and let God, is really well-intentioned. But I think it falls into just a wrong understanding of what suffering is, and specifically for depression, what depression is. You see, if we think that depression from the outset is a lack of faith, right? Or if we think that sadness and despair are necessarily from the outset bad emotions, right? If sadness is a bad emotion that shouldn't be experienced, then you run into this. Most people who say this think that a Christian should never be sad or grieving or depressed. Well, I think that there is maybe a glimmer of truth to that. We have to realize that God has made us with all these emotions and that we live in a fallen world. And so even Christians can succumb to despair and sadness and, rightly so, a grieving process. I think this is scriptural. You see this in scripture. Jeremiah, he was the weeping prophet. He was so burdened for his people that he carried around sadness in his heart. Jesus himself, the word says he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with our grief. And you see him at the graveside of Lazarus, weeping with Mary and Martha as they are grieving the loss of their brother. You see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane right before his death, and he is crying out to the Lord, saying, God, if there's any way, take this cup from me. You see emotion in Jesus. So to say that sadness and a burden and even grief and maybe even depression, I would go so far to say that, to say that that is necessarily a bad emotion and it therefore should be avoided by the Christian, I think is a very limited view of our human experience. It is good, and you see this in the Psalms over and over, it is good to lament the hard things in life, right? Because if you have seen death, if you have come face to face with death or have had a loved one die, you know this, that there is a process. You don't just wake up the next day and move on with your life. You have to grieve that loss. You have to grieve that person being no longer in your life. And the same thing is true of a depressed state is, you know, you may have gone through something that has left you depressed and despondent, with no energy to get out of bed, fatigued, tired, and you may just feel like you're grieving something, whatever it is. The Bible calls that a lament. You're lamenting what has gone on in life. You're lamenting the suffering of life. And so for someone to come along and say, well, you just need to have more faith and move on, I just don't think that's what faith is. And then I also don't think it's really helpful for the sufferer. So just let me know down in the comments or in the poll on Spotify if you've ever had somebody say that to you. I'm really curious to see how many people have had something similar. You know, if you're counseling somebody, we have to remember this too. As sufferers of depression or grief, we have to remember this too when others are going through grief or depression, is that we shouldn't say that to them either. We shouldn't tell them just to move on and have more faith and pray and let go and let God. It's so tempting to do that because why? It's a quick fix. It's a quick fix because we are uncomfortable with sadness, especially in American culture. We are uncomfortable with lamenting and grieving. We expect just happiness. And really, that has become the god of America, is the pursuit of happiness. And so almost in a sense, we've gone so far on the other side where we don't see it appropriate to grieve and to be sad, and even, dare I say, depressed at sometimes in life. Now, this begs the question. Now, is all depression warranted? And what I mean by that is it right to justify all depressed states or depressed moods as is justified in the sense that we shouldn't try to get out of them or that we should stay in them? And this is where we come to a hard thing, is I don't think that that's the case either. I think when we're grieving the loss of something or someone, that depression is often a natural response from that. But there are often times where we want to stay there in that depression. And this is where I think we need to combat the modern day notion of just staying where we are. You see, Christ always wants us to move forward and to trudge ahead and to press on to the goal of knowing him. So while seasons of depression are normal in many Christians' lives, I don't think that we should want to stay there. This is where I do think that depression can become a lack of faith. When we decide to stay there without seeking hope, seeking healing from whatever it is, and moving on and out of our depressed state and into a proper perspective on who God is, who we are, whatever be the cause of your depression. So I want to talk about what biblical faith really is. So when somebody tells you if you're depressed or grieving, just have more faith, move on. What are they saying? They're basically saying you don't have faith in God, and that's why you're sad, or that's why you're grieving. You're not trusting in God's goodness right now for your life. You don't see how he's good to you because you're sad. And I think this is a limited understanding for the reasons we just talked about. But let's talk about real faith. Let's talk about what faith really is. And we're going to dispel the myth of having more faith, because I am convinced that strong believers, men and women, are often ones who actually go through many sufferings in life. I think you find this in John, when Jesus is telling his disciples that they will walk through many sufferings in this life. If the world hated you, or if the world hated Jesus, it will hate you as well, and that you're going to suffer in this life. You will have trouble in this world, but take heart, because Jesus has overcome the world. It's John 16. I actually believe that the path of suffering, and dare I say depression, is one of the ways God sanctifies us. I think this is true all throughout Scripture. You look in the letter of Peter. Peter says over and over that your sufferings are producing in you endurance and a proper perspective. You look in 2 Corinthians, where Paul is saying, I'm like a jar of clay, and my weakness is just so paramount, is so big, and I don't know how to get out of it. But then what does Jesus say to him? He says, my grace is sufficient for your weakness, for in your weakness my power is made perfect. So I think that through the course of suffering, that we are often sanctified the most. And so God may give you seasons of depression. God may give you anxiety or seasons of grief because he wants to sanctify you. And I don't think that's the only reason. I think there's a mystery to suffering that we can't explain. This is the lesson of the book of Job, is that God never answers Job's endless questions. Job and the whole book is saying, God, if I could just talk to you, then I'll figure out what's wrong and why this happened. But at the end of the book, what does God do? He says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth and when I let the waves come up to a certain point on the beaches? You weren't there, so you don't know my purposes. And so I think there's a mystery to suffering in the sense that God sometimes leaves our questions unanswered on this side of heaven. I believe that, but I do believe that when we get to eternity with Christ, it'll all make sense, like being on a mountaintop. But what I'm getting at here is that faith is something much more than just being happy. The myth of just have more faith, when somebody says that to you, is that they're basically wanting you to move on their timetable. They're basically wanting you to move on from your grief or your depressed state in such a way that neglects the proper mourning or lamenting that needs to take place. Biblical faith is facing reality. And you see this in the Psalms. You see this in Psalm 42, which we read last week, is that the psalmist is saying, God, where are you? My soul is downcast. God, where are you? I need to hope in you, and I need to trust in you, but Lord, I can't just seem to feel that right now. And I think you see that in the rest of the Psalms with David crying out over and over, God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? He even says that in Psalm 22. Biblical faith is facing reality head on. It's taking your feelings and knowing the truth about God and combining them in a mess of questioning and even wrestling with doubt. You see, what faith is trust. It all boils down to trust. Do you trust God? Do you trust that he is who he says he is and that he is with you even when you don't feel like it? In biblical faith, there's often a separation between what we know is true and what we feel in the moment. And let me just take the depressed state for an example. In your depressed state, you may feel like you're worthless. You may feel as if you have no worth, that no one likes you, no one appreciates you, that you'll never get out of this. I could list 100 more lies that come upon you. In your depressed state, that's what you feel. And it really feels that way. There's a cloud over you. There's a weight. Life feels bleak. And that's what life feels like. But biblical faith takes the scripture and takes the word of God that says, God, I feel worthless right now, but I know that in Christ I still have worth. Lord, I don't feel you with me right now, but I know that you're with me. Often this expresses itself in questions. God, where are you? I don't know where you're at. I can't see you. Lord, I'm feeling this way, but Lord, I know your word says this. Help me. And oftentimes, it feels like a whirlpool. It feels like we're just drowning in our doubts. But I really think that when we run to God with our doubts and our questions and our seasons of depression and grief, that really we are exercising faith. That when we're honest with ourselves, with God, and each other, and in our community of the church, in our discipleship groups or whatever we're in, that when we're honest with what we're struggling, that's true faith. And why is that? It's because we're admitting to ourselves that we are no longer the source of just our foundation of who we are, that we can't solve this ourselves anymore. We know that there's something that we can't get out of ourselves, and so we have nowhere else to turn but to God alone. This is true faith, is grasping God in the midst of your trial, in the midst of depression. So when somebody says to you, you know, just have more faith, just pray more, it'll work out, God's working all things for your good, the temptation there is to really get mad and get angry. I think that they're saying that from a good heart, but we always must keep in mind that biblical faith is not just a, you know, get up and move on type of mentality. Rather, biblical faith says, take your questions, take your suffering, and run to God. Run to the Lord each and every day. There are going to be times when your faith is so weak because you can't seem to grasp the truth in the fog of your despair. There's going to be seasons of depression that may be so deep that you can't believe any truth in the feelings that you're surrounded in. I know for me, in times of my depression, it is so hard to believe what God says is true. There's a disconnect there. There's like my feelings are just feel like they're the truth, right? I feel like no one hears me or no one listens. I feel like God isn't there. And that feeling can become almost a reality that we stay in. And this is why I was saying earlier that we shouldn't stay in that reality. Because at the end of the day, despite your depressed mood, if you are in Christ, he will never leave you or forsake you. That's the truth. It doesn't change just because you have a fluctuation in your mood or you have a season of depression or grief. The gospel never changes. Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so biblical faith wants to move out of that spot where we're constantly dwelling in those lies. And I don't know what it is for you, but for me specifically, when I knew I was having a lack of faith was when I was falling into self-pity. And this is common in depression, is we fall into a mode of self-pity where we think we almost deserve to sulk in our sadness or sulk in our despair or sulk in our worthlessness or you name it. You insert anything there. We almost feel like we deserve it. And this is kind of a sick and twisted way of looking at it, is that in our depression, we think, man, I'm too far gone. I have to stay here because I'll never get out of it. I think that is an expression of a lack of faith, because we're saying that God doesn't have a purpose for this or that God can never get us out of it. Whereas we know that one day he will get us out of every suffering when he returns in Christ to make all things new. Needless to say, what I'm getting at here is that biblical faith, specifically in seasons of depression, is much more than just being happy and moving on from your suffering, that in a sense, it is right to lament and grieve, and especially if your depression is caused by something in your life that has just happened, grieve in that. But biblical faith doesn't want to stay there. It moves on and grasps the truth of Scripture and moves to the better place of trusting Christ and knowing that in him there is still so much hope and so much worth, and even to your life that there is just something worth hanging on to there, and that can only be found in Jesus. So I hope you enjoy this episode as we just continue our season of depression. We're going to explore some different facets of depression in the following episode. So I'm really excited to look into this and just look at different things that we can talk about together as a community of believers and open the can on discussion of mental health in our communities, in our churches, and hopefully within trusted friendships that we each have. So be well, and I just pray that we would continue seeking Christ in the midst of these valleys until he brings us to the final one of eternity with him.